I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today you're going to get to meet a friend of mine named Jennifer Hammond. Now, if you happen to watch or listen to the show and you grew up with me, it's not that Jennifer Hammond, although I'm totally introducing the two of them because they're both high energy, delightful, positive, intelligent women. And that's going to happen. But this Jennifer Hammond is a 26-year realtor and an educator, and she's all bubbles and smarts. You're going to love this conversation. So I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Tell my audience where you're located. Obviously, it's somewhere resorty or you want to be, and how long you've been in and around the real estate space. And just tell them a little more about you.
Absolutely. So I am Jennifer Hammond, and another Jennifer Hammond for you. So I grew up, ironically, in Key West, Florida. So a little bitty island of Miami. So people who know where it is, it's the southernmost tip of the United States. So I grew up with a very different viewpoint on the world because of Key West. And I really thought that was the way the world went. But then I ended up going to college. I went and I got a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree at the University of West Florida, which is Pensacola, which I got to tell you is nicknamed L.A., Lower Alabama. And Lower Alabama, it was very prejudiced. And it was the first time I'd ever like stepped into a place where women were to be seen and not heard. Yeah, like the two different angles, like the furthest you could go, it was 17 hours to drive home for like spring break. But it was a town that owned the university, had beachfront property. And I knew I wanted to be somewhere where I could still see the water. And I wasn't sure I'd make it through, but I did a bachelor's and a master's degree. Now I thought I was going to change the world. And so I went into politics and I actually went to Washington, D.C. to work for a congressman. I didn't make it 6 months. And then I just realized, nope, I'm not going to be able to make a difference here in people's lives. And I have to do something that matters. And so then I got into real estate. So that was 1997. So it's been a little over 26 years. I have been a licensed real estate agent, but also I have 10 beautiful years that I was on Sirius XM radio. And a Sirius XM, you know, there's what, 47 million subscribers. They didn't all listen to me, but there was amazing opportunities to really educate. And I know it's one of the reasons that I love you is I became very passionate from the first time home buyer to the veteran, to the divorcing couple, to when there's a death in it, and understanding like so that people could make good decisions in real estate. And that's been my passion. So I also now do a lot of the 3-day seminars and education and online classes. And I have a podcast and a TV show that's coming out next year. So lots of stuff, but Washington, D.C. has been my home for the last almost 30 years. And I just moved to Florida. So now I'm in Tampa, Florida area.
I was going to say, so you're in D.C. with your Key West reminder and your key lime green on.
Exactly.
You've come home to the land of freedom down there in Florida.
That's right. We have so many wonderful freedoms in Florida, I've got to say. And it's fun because there's family back in the Tampa, Clearwater area. I love it. So now I'm licensed in Florida as well. And I love it. And the thing is that I found is interesting because I'm licensed in Virginia, D.C. and Maryland, three different states. It's like having three different children, completely different laws. And then I got licensed in Florida and I was like, wow, I can't believe how different real estate can be. But of course, there's so many similarities, too. But wow, it's different.
You know, it's funny you mentioned all those licenses because the first time I met a realtor from that area who called themselves the DMV agent, I was like, nobody wants to be at the DMV. What are you talking about? Because I was thinking Department of Motor Vehicles, not DC, Maryland, right. Virginia. But if you're going to be active up there, those areas intertwine before you even realize you've crossed a block, which is fascinating to me. So
what did you say? I just did a deal, which was amazing because sure enough, the person was selling in DC and purchasing in Maryland. And they're two different contracts. And she was a lawyer. And it's funny because she's like, I don't understand. Why in Maryland do you do it this way? And then in DC, you do it this way. And you think about how you try to educate your clients. And then you're like, yeah, and now I have to educate you about the way the jurisdictions look at things very, very differently. And if you don't know that, you can make huge mistakes. So,
well, you know, your shorter answer to that was, lady, we do it this way so your people will have a job. Lots of lawyers stay employed in and around real estate.
Oh my gosh. And whole boards of lawyers. Like I think about, there's a whole committee of lawyers in Maryland, a whole committee in Virginia, a whole committee in DC. I think we keep them employed. Well, and here's a tidbit. I don't know if you know, when COVID happened and like everything shut down, nobody can go anywhere except for the real estate agents. The real estate agents are now the same as a frontline worker, the same as a doctor or a nurse. And I was like, what? Why are you doing that? And of course, in Washington, D.C., we don't have an industry other than real estate. They call it the hello and goodbye tax. That's 3%. And that is one of our biggest incomes. So if people can't buy and sell, guess what?
But you know,
no income for the D.C. government.
As realtors, like we were on the front lines of that political work to make sure realtors could work because we had clients trapped on moving vans. And I think that was something that the shutdown people were not thinking about when they just put the world to an end. We had buyers who were like, we're closing tomorrow, but now the courthouse is closed. What are we supposed to do? And sellers that are thinking the utilities are already cut off and our next deposit is in place. And they forgot all those moving pieces were not just cubicle workers who could turn an Excel spreadsheet on and off. So I was really grateful that we were allowed to get back to work. And frankly, that's too high. And we'll just add that out there that taxation is theft. But anyway, speaking of the intricacies around real estate. So now you've operated in multiple markets across multiple decades, across multiple platforms. So when you came in, because I got licensed in 98. So we came in at the end of the book era and then moved into the green screen era. And now we're in the smartphone era of being tethered to real estate, whereas once upon a time, young realtors won't even believe us when we say this, but you could actually walk out of your office and nobody could find you. It's an amazing moment in life. In our area of North Carolina, nobody showed houses on Sunday without really thinking about it on Saturday and making special arrangements because you had to go to the office and pick up a key, which is something still happens in some rural market. My least favorite memory of early real estate is going to freaking pick up keys. But anyway, so in all of those different experiences that you've had, what would you say has given you the mindset of an instructor as to where is the biggest room for improvement in the next phase of real estate? Because one thing about instructors, we have this opportunity, as you know, to listen to our classes and somebody will always raise a hand and we jot that down and marinate on that, just kind of catch you off guard. So we have this wonderful opportunity to hear and see and think. So what's got you thinking about next steps in real estate right now?
So similar to you, I started in 1997 and I remember having the contracts in the back of my trunk because you always wanted to make sure people had a copy.
One for you, one for the client, one for the office.
And oh, God forbid the carbon copy gross stuff when you're trying to make, well, here, let's do hand delivering them. And the reason I bring that up is as we look to the future, I just did a deal and she said, I signed all this stuff when I did it through all these electronic programs, DocuSign, all this different stuff. And she said, how am I going to get a copy of all that? And I started laughing and I was like, wow, because we're not sitting in front of somebody and making a copy and handing it to them when they send it digitally, and even though you've said it verbally to them numerous times, there's always a copy for you at DocuSign. I've realized that one of the things I think that as our future goes is that we're going to need more checklists that we actually go over with our client going, okay, so these are the things that you've agreed to. And I also, I've talked about this recently. So I don't know if you ever know that book, What to Expect When Expecting.
I remember that book and I hated it because it was full of lies.
So that's why I was funny. I didn't read it, but I know a lot of people who did and people who hated it, people who loved it.
I threw out one chapter and I'm like, this is a bunch of horse crap. And I threw it out because I was like, this is not my pregnancy. I was probably also not in the place where I needed somebody's advice.
Well, and that's my point is I would love to see if we had checklists where we could really give somebody kind of a prediction of, okay, so you want to know where the documents are. Here's where you're going to get the documents. They're going to be documents. And also part of it, I would love to see in the future is really understanding. I know one thing that you're really good at is communicating your value to somebody. So them understanding, well, if this is digital and this is this and everything's so simple and we've got AI, why do I need a real estate agent? And I'm like, oh dear, wow. That means you don't really actually understand what a real estate agent does. And so let's go over how this is going to help you, and then asking them the right questions, but being able to do that in a way that, again, they feel safe, that it's educational and that they're not being invalidated, that they're dumb for not knowing. Because of course, I don't know about your experience, but attorneys, lawyers, they sign things not necessarily reading them and then accuse you that you didn't tell them about something. And they're like, wait, you signed the document. You said you read it because I'm not sitting in front of you. And so I think as we go forward with AI and with all of this, we need to figure out how are we putting the human factor and the human touch into this, whether it's through checklists or whether it's through actually meeting with them and actually going over and reading every bit of it.
I mean, that's really valid. And I love that the first place you went is something that's actionable for anybody in the business, but also actionable for a consumer. I need to know these things. So for example, in my office with the offer to purchase and contract, when we're in the initial consultation, we get our little highlighter out and we're like, all right, here's where the money's going to leave your pocket, right here, here,
right
here. And here's the dates that matter. So we break it down from 16 pages into the 8 action moments. Totally going to add a checklist to that. So thank you for that idea. Otherwise, they will have a question, where's my copy? And instead of asking their agent, they're just going to ask ChatGPT, which is really frightening because the only thing AI can spit back out is what it's been fed. And what they've been fed about realtors is probably not super flattering or helpful. And especially when you think about that educated class that knows more than us. In fact, one of my dear friends in the business, he's known as one of the negative voices of real estate, Rob Hahn. He's hilarious, but he's a notorious ROB. And he made a comment last week or this week or whenever that as an Ivy Leaguer himself, he knows how realtors are perceived by that upper echelon. They look down their noses at us because we've chosen a less than career. But how much of that's on us for never saying, here's why you want us? That lawyer you helped going across 2 jurisdictions, there's definitely a place for technology. I'd say AI could have been helpful on a broad surface scale. But when it came to how in the world do we manage the logistics of all these things and what are the differences, that's a really personalized, competent, knowledgeable, professional approach that only a realtor can provide. So I love that there's probably a mix there, but we are going to see, I think, an outflow of agents who never figure out how to define for that person that's paying them what exactly they're doing with their time. And gosh, that DocuSign example is so perfect because I rail about this a lot, how many agents will load it up and send it. And then the client signs it. I was about to call you and walk you through it. No. Don't send it before you call them. Call them with a PDF and say, let's walk through this. Then I'm going to load it for signature. So we have to invest that time in that education, which could go on a checklist of call first, then send the DocuSign, and then go ahead and pull down the PDF and send it to them because they're probably not going to find it anyway.
And then what you also, if I can intercede this part, is when you do that as well, I've said that I send a PDF and then I'm like, let's talk about it before you sign. And then so often that just goes, oh, no, it's fine. It's totally fine. That's why I mean about setting up expectations of what to expect when you're going to go through this and say, so what I'm going to do is we have this technology. It's super fun. The DocuSign that comes through. But the first thing we're going to do and set it up so that it is, I almost want to say you gamify it so that it is fun for them to, it's not like, oh gosh, I got a document and you're going to treat me like a 2-year-old going through it. Or especially like with, I say, attorneys who, again, they believe that they know more than I do. And of course, in many things they do, but in some things I might.
I know more about it. It's when you want to get a little spicy.
Yeah, exactly. I want to say, but I bet this one you don't do as many times as I do it. And I kind of know what I know, and I want to share that knowledge with you. But it's interesting when people are willing to accept that. So in the check sheet is also giving them the expectation of, hey, I'd like to go over how this process is going to go. And here was the secret. Get their agreement that they're willing to have you go over it instead of just signing it blindly.
Now, here's what I wrote down. You said share the knowledge. I love that phrase. So instead of educate you, walk you through, I want to share the knowledge, stealing it. Second thing I'm stealing. Well done. Love it. So, you know, talking about attorneys, one of my favorites, he's retired now. Hilarious. I was sitting in a closing with him. He was old when I got into business. And so he might even have passed by now. And I wouldn't know because I take the local paper and I'll read it. I'll just be honest. But he was sitting in the closing and my client was asking a few questions, but mainly just cruising right through. And he looked over at Tom and he said, do people actually read this stuff? Because, you know, the closing packet can be pretty intense with the deed of trust, the North Carolina deed of trust date. And then you got your lien waivers, you got everything else. And Tom looked at him and said, I can tell how much education you have by how much you read. If you have a third grade education, you will sign without question. If you have a PhD, If you have a third grade education, you want to read every word and question everything. If you have a PhD, you're just going to go fast, sign an initial, and you don't have the faintest idea what's going on. And he said, I don't know which one's better or worse, because the person asking probably can't comprehend my answer. And the person who should be asking is not asking.
That is so well said. Woo!
And so my client said, how much education do you think I have? And Tom looked at him and said, bachelor's degree. And he's like, you're right.
Oh my gosh, I have experienced exactly that. It's so interesting because when I first got into the business, and here's a weird story, but when I was a kid, unfortunately, my dad was a lawyer. And I say unfortunately because he didn't make very good financial decisions. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and they were in another fight, my mom and dad, and I heard things crashing and breaking and it was awful. And I remember just as a kid, just pulling my covers up over my head thinking, I don't want to know what's happening. And in the morning I found out because of their poor decisions, we were losing our home.
No.
And he was a lawyer. They took it. They came, the repo man came and took our car and then they took our house and we lost our house. And I remember, you know, it was weird as a little kid. I think I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. And I remember thinking in my heart, I will never be homeless. I will never allow this to happen. And listening to the fight, I realized that both of them had just never had any knowledge. They never really understood finances well enough. And they were always assuming the other one was taking care of this or that. And then next thing you know, the mortgage didn't get paid. And it was so awful. And I remember after I finished my bachelor's and my master's and I had worked on Capitol Hill and I was like, I'm in Washington, D.C. Now what am I going to do with my life? And what I really thought was, what if I could help people never have the pain I had and never lose their house? If I shared enough of my knowledge, if I helped them really understand how to make a good decision in real estate, not a decision of I'm keeping up with the Joneses or I'm going to be the most expensive or whatever idea that they may have gotten. If I could help them enough to just provide them with the options so that they could look at them without confusion and feel empowered enough to make a good decision that they wouldn't lose their home. All these years, I love first time home buyers. I love helping the person that will allow me to share my knowledge with them and hopefully help them make good decisions in real estate where their children are not hearing that fight that I heard when I was a kid.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So do you use that really personal and vulnerable story? Do you tell that in your consultation so they will understand why you're so laser beam focused on them making great decisions and keeping those good decisions current?
You know, that's funny that you asked that question. I have shared it on the radio on SiriusXM. I've shared it on podcasts, but it's funny that you say that because I have never, ever shared it with a client in a consultation. You're right. I really should. I've never done that.
If I'm your buyer, as agents, I know that what they hear from us is wah, 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 wah. Let's go see the house.
Yeah.
And as a seller, it's wah, 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 price, because they only are focused on certain pieces. But then when you toss that bomb in the room of, yeah, my parents lost our house to foreclosure and our car when I was in kindergarten, I don't want that to happen to you. I can imagine their attention going, okay, how do I not make that a reality for my kids, because the parent, it's not even about what happens to me. It's about, I wouldn't want my babies to go through that. And housing, it's so personal, and it's so hard for people to understand that, especially first timers, till they get in there. Like, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it is really emotional. It's really personal. And we can't really explain it until you're in the house. And then suddenly you're going to be all mushy about electrical outlets. And there's no way to explain that until you're in it. And a story like that, though, is, it's just a showstopper. And so my question for you is, well, twofold. First of all, did your parents survive that?
No.
Oh, because that's the number one cause of divorce is financial stress and trauma. And that's another hit on, as a kid, what you think about relationships and your confidence and all that stuff. And so my other question is, how long before you felt stable after you had your foundation rocked?
It's so interesting because for me, my mom ended up, through the stress, she became an alcoholic and a drug addict, and then she died of cancer. So, and it's funny, when you ask that question, it made me really think about why I didn't tell people. I think in the beginning of my career, I was so afraid because I had always looked really young. And so in my 20s, when I started as a real estate agent in Washington, D.C., the idea that I just was so young, I didn't know anything. And then it was a good old boys club. There were more men than there were women in the real estate in Washington, D.C. And I didn't want to be looked upon as an idiot. It was funny because I didn't want to be vulnerable in a way that made people uncomfortable. And it's funny because now, this 26 years later, I feel like people are willing to hear that. I think people used to kind of shift in their seat when they didn't want to hear that my mom was an alcoholic or that my dad was a lawyer who lost his house. Like those kind of things. I'm sure my dad doesn't necessarily love that I tell that story, but it's the truth. And it is what it is. It's my life. And that's what happened. And it is what gave me my passion, as much as, again, at the time, people were like, well, if you go to law school or if you do something else, you're going to be looked upon so well, versus, as you know, all of these awful stereotypes that they have for real estate agents sleeping with everybody. And oh my gosh, all the terrible things they say. So now I feel like that's part of why I continue to do the media stuff. I'll do podcasts and stuff, is because I realize that it's very important for people to understand your why. Why do you do it? But I wasn't willing to open up for most of my years.
Well, it wasn't the norm back then, but that was also pre-social media, which has become everybody's very personal lives on full displays, like a not forget diaries. We're just all about journaling in public now, which is good and bad because it does destigmatize situations like parents with addiction. Because somebody else out there is, here you girl, my mom was the same way and still dealing with it today. But now they have that connective tissue. And especially if you look at, you know, recording this in the middle of 2023, we haven't yet seen the financial crisis that's to come because there's so many uncertain things in the financial waters. There are going to be people losing houses, losing homes, if we don't counsel correctly today. And I think that's where your story can have a really scalable impact. And frankly, for all of its flaws, yay, that transparency is a good thing now, because the public does want that from their realtor. Like, oh, okay, so if you went through this, so I don't want to, talk to me a little bit. And I bet your dad, if he was honest about it, he's probably like, okay, fine. If somebody can learn from it, then I'll be glad they learned from it, right? Dad's gonna be glad they learned.
I think you're right. It also, he comes from that generation where you just don't talk about things. Exactly. And it's interesting that, again, like you said, on social media, he has Facebook. The only thing he has on Facebook, he has three friends, and those are his three kids.
Oh. Well, you know, most people in his generation use Facebook for dating, so you should be glad that he uses it to hang out.
That's very good. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's actually true. The 55 plus crowd uses Facebook for dating because they don't trust the apps like Our Time for Seniors, or what's that new one, Silver Age?
And oh my gosh.
Little high school friends and see whose husband just passed from the cancer. So now you know who to take a casserole to. I mean, it's a targeted marketing. When you're looking at how agents and the public can make better financial choices when it comes to investing and buying, give me the top piece of advice you give to those first timers that you love counseling.
Well, the first timers is there's always buckets of money, and you should look for the buckets of money before you decide and before you get excited about a property. To me, one of the most important things, like when in Washington, D.C., one of the things that I got really well known for and that my name just started getting spread all over the place was because I found that there was a grant that people could get in Washington, D.C. for their down payment. And then there was a really special pocket of money for closing costs, what they call a silent second. It was there and they had to pay it off only when they went to sell the property, had to make no payments on it, only when they went to sell the property. So now if you don't have to come up with your down payment, you don't have to come up with your closing costs. Okay, now we need to just understand the type of loan that you would like as a first-time home buyer. So these three buckets, I call it the three buckets of money. What are they for you? In Tampa, I just found out, I have somebody who sent me her son, and her son, he's just got his first job. And so there's a $15,000 grant in Pinellas County. They just give first-time home buyers. Just you do whatever the heck you want with that money. And he missed it by $400 in his salary. Now, we can't go to his boss and go, I need you to remove $400 from my salary because it'll give me $15,000 for my house. It's too late. Even if you're not looking to buy right now, understand those three buckets of money in your area, because there's local stuff, there's private grants, there's county level grants, there's state level grants, there's federal grants. Finding those buckets of money that'll help you, because when you're a first-time home buyer, it's pretty much the only time you're going to get all those buckets just being handed to you.
And especially right now with the affordability situations happening in so many markets, if there is money available and those three buckets have something where you are, hello, that's probably going to help you get into something so you can get your foothold in the door. And frankly, I'll just shake the long bony mom finger of shame for a second at the agents who watch and listen, who aren't aware of the money where you are, because there's a lot of agents, and I'll say this with love, but with stern admonition, they assume that those down payment buckets are only for certain people. And there is no certain people. In almost every market, the down payment assistance hits more income demographics than you realize. It hits all kinds of neighbors. And there are so many flexible programs out there, but it's on the agent to go get educated on this. And then once you're educated, to give it back to the public, because my stomach just hurts at that $400. If it's a normal employer, not some giant, big top four employer, but a regular company, would probably gladly have made an adjustment off of salary to bonus or done a gas card or something to help with that guideline had they known about it in advance, so they weren't skirting any laws, but they just restructure it. And it's not illegal to restructure, by the way, y'all. It's just being smart. But if you don't know, you don't know. And as a real estate professional, I know I'm asking a lot because y'all are busy, but you need to go know. You need to go get educated and call your favorite lender who does down payment assistance, should know all of these things where you're located, and also know the eligibility. And then you as an agent can really be a hero. I love that you have chosen to be a hero in a part of the market that a lot of agents ignore. I mean, we go to any conference, a lot of realtors will fill a room up, how to work luxury real estate. And then if you have a competing class, how to find down payment money, it will not be nearly as packed. Let's think about who we're serving here.
One of the things also that I love to talk about as well with first-time home buyers is how is a first-time home buyer defined in that jurisdiction? Like in Washington, D.C., as well as in Maryland, the example I was just using, if you've never bought in the state of Maryland before, it doesn't matter if you bought 18 properties in all sorts of other states, if you've never bought in that specific state, you're considered a first-time home buyer. And there's an amazing tax benefit for you that you can show up on your settlement sheet if you understand the definition of first-time home buyer. And that's also true with county, not only county and state regulations, but also they call it first-time home buyer for mortgages. And again, what is that definition? There was a couple of the grants that I looked at for first-time home buyer, and it said that you couldn't own property in that state for 2 years. So you could have gone away, you could have owned in Maryland, then gone away and then come back. What?
Even in the DC area, you could live in Maryland, move over to Northern Virginia, make a layover in DC, come back to Maryland, shazam, it's like you're renewed and your first time again. Woo!
Woohoo! I mean, there's just some crazy stuff. So understanding what the definition is, and part of that I have found with clients is they're like, no, I already know. I've already checked out those programs. And I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm not going to for it. You can bring a horse to water. You right. can't make him drink.
You got to grab the reins and lead them. And if they don't listen, they'll be like your lawyers who didn't read the DocuSign before they signed it. Everything comes full circle. So am I going to wager a wild guess that one of the classes that you teach is related to a full service approach to helping first time buyers know all their benefits?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because I love it. I'm constantly updating it. And it's one of those things where even in my first time home buyer class, which is a super inexpensive class, I found a lot of real estate agents who buy it and then they share. Because again, when you don't have to be the person who is sharing your knowledge, I hate to say like, is I always thought it was hilarious. Like when I got on SiriusXM, my brother's like, what? I'm the rock star hero. You should not be on SiriusXM. But I'm like, I'm talking about real estate. And he's like, still, whatever. You shouldn't be on SiriusXM. He said, I'm the guitar hero. I'm the one who's going to be super famous. I don't understand. And it was just so funny. I'm like, okay. So your family, you might not be. So sometimes having a class that someone else teaches these things to your clients, then it's a really helpful people. Oh, I believe her.
And here I was going to make a joke about us wearing green and your brother being green about your opportunity. And maybe we should be teaching buyers how to make their friends green because they got the green. And then they don't have to be green because they can come to the green ladies class to find out how to get their own green. There's the whole circle. We can go and use all the greens in the Crayola 64 box. And not
exactly
because there were a couple greens nobody used. Let's just be honest. All right. So if somebody wants to reach out to you about the classes that you teach or where they can find the level of knowledge and expertise you have, or they need some help in Pinellas County, or they need a name in the DMV, or they want to know why they shouldn't go work on Capitol Hill, or they want to find out exactly what we were talking about when we talk about in triplicate, where should they reach out to you? Jennifer Hammond. Oh, and you could probably also introduce somebody in Key West too. And you don't have to be a parrot head to go to Key West, but it helps.
But it helps. And that was actually, you'd love this story. So my very first real estate deal, I was working for a real estate law firm. And the first deal was with Jimmy Buffett. And he was doing Margaritaville. And it was so funny because on all the documents, his name is James. And I was like, I wonder if he's like a brother or something to that Jimmy guy who plays in the bars down in Key West. So funny looking back on it now. Anyway, I digress. Go to jenniferjhammond.com. Jennifer, and then my middle initial is jhammond.com. All the classes, everything's up there. And the social media is the same. Like we're on Facebook. I did get in trouble with Facebook. I had over 150,000 people. You and I were talking about there's a few Jennifer Hammonds. Well, there's one Jennifer Hammond who's naughty. And apparently her account and my account got a little merged. So my Facebook account has been taken off for illegal activity, which as you know, in real estate, we can get into a little bit of trouble, but it's not the illegal activity that that other Jennifer Hammond is. We just won't promote her. But anyway.
OnlyFans or that kind of edgy, nasty shit?
It's a porn star.
Oh my gosh. But to be fair, y'all, at the beginning, I'm telling Jennifer about my friend, Jennifer Hammond, who is the wonderful light of the earth. And so not all Jennifer Hammonds.
There's a Jennifer Hammond who's a reporter in Detroit and they call her the Hammer. And she's a sports reporter. And then there's a Jennifer Hammond who is one of the Miss Universe and she's from the Philippines. But the one who's the naughty one is the one who's giving me trouble on social media. So I highly recommend stick to my website. Go to Jennifer J. Hammond. Because if you do too much Googling, you might end up with the naughty site. And that's definitely not me.
You don't want that in your search history because we can't help you. So speaking of Jimmy Buffett, have you paid attention to how much he's doing in commercial real estate development these days?
Yeah. He's very savvy.
I've been going for 30 years with the same group of friends to see Jimmy. And this past year, took my daughter for the first time. And well, we've calmed down a lot in our waning years, although there's some people way older than us that are wild. We're just not wild anymore. But I took my daughter. And so I sat away from my friends this past year. It was a better choice for everybody. And in the middle of the concert, he had just finished like, I don't know, Volcano or something, very Buffett-y. He goes into a 15-minute diatribe about his 55 plus communities and what he's doing for aging parents and how important commercial real estate development was. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what alternate universe am I in that Buffett is up here talking about commercial real estate development? And I'm looking around and I'm like, is this real life? And it was. And the crowd was starting to get really antsy. So he finally went back and did another song. But I need to get him on the podcast, even though I've heard he's not the nicest person in the world. So maybe you can help hook that up since you're Miss Serious.
I was going to say, I never thought about interviewing him. I bet I could. I've got some other really funny coincidence stories, which I'd actually love to say with him, and we'll see how well he reacts to it. But I think that is our thing. I'm going to find him because I'd like to get him on my show, but I want to get him on your show. How do you see the two green girls?
I'll go after the talk about real estate and you can go after James and Margaritaville and Key West connections.
I want to see if he remembers that deal and know that I worked in that law firm and if he remembers that law firm. And that was the day where, again, things were all paper. You've got to remember, this is before the internet, before cell phones. And so I had to walk down to the courthouse to file a bunch of the paperwork for Jimmy Buffett. Anyway, never forget it. So that's our goal. Next time is hanging out with Jimmy Buffett.
And if there's any reason y'all need to subscribe to the podcast, it's because you don't know when crazy shit's going to wind up having the king of the parrots on here. And you're going to have to go follow and subscribe to Jennifer because he is probably going to show up over there first, because obviously that's how things should work. But obviously say something nice about Jennifer in the comments. All of her contact information and links are in the show notes for this episode. And thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me today. I have enjoyed it so much. And now I can't wait to introduce you to my dear friend, Jennifer Hammond. Well, she's got a married name now, but she'll just have to stay Jennifer Hammond
forever. Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, I love your podcast. And I love the fact that you talk about the real stuff. It's not just foo-foo. So thank you.
Y'all go take her class and then let me know what you think. In the meantime, we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there, and if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.